Thanks for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. On today's sermon, Pastor Walker will be teaching from his series entitled Deep Rest. As a Christian, your life should not feel complicated. Jesus calls, "Come to me, for all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's listen as Pastor Walker shares how you can handle the demands of the world with joy and face life's challenges with peace in your heart. Now here's Pastor Walker with today's sermon.
By then, things had begun to change enough time had passed, that Elijah is given instruction to send word to Ahab, the king, who he had fled from or left the nation of Israel, and he was out in the wilderness. He's there for this time. Chapter 18, verse 1, that happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth." Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, and the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab called on Obadiah, who was over the household of Ahab. And Obadiah, it says, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. He was overseeing Ahab's household. He was not a party to the Baal departure. He was loyal to his God. And in fact, the story, if you read those intervening verses, it will talk about how that Obadiah was the one who, when he found out what Jezebel was wanting to put to death all of the prophets of the Lord, all the priests of the Lord in Israel, that he secretly pulled a number of them out and away and hid them and fed them on bread and water for an extended period of time. It might have even been going on until that time. So Elijah knew that he had a friend in Obadiah. But Obadiah says back to him when Elijah is trying to get Obadiah to deliver the message, "I want to see Ahab." Obadiah responds by saying, "He's looked all over the known world for you, Elijah, and couldn't find you. And if I tell him that you're wanting to meet with him," and then it's a funny little thing how he talks about. He says, "But and then all of a sudden you're just kind of sucked up into a cloud. You're just sucked up into a wisp of air, and you're not there. And what am I going to do? He's going to kill me because you're not there." I think that was indicative of Obadiah realizing this is a man of God, and unusual things happen with men of God. He's saying, "Look, if I tell a king he wants to meet with you, you flat better be there. Don't you be going somewhere else. You know, don't you be just disappearing." And Elijah says, "I'll be here. You tell him." This is in verse 16. "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah." Now watch this. Verse 17. So 1 Kings 18, verse 17. "When Ahab the king saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, 'Is this you, you troubler of Israel?'" Now look, when you've reached the point that you're calling up, up, down, and down, up, you're in a world of confusion. Ahab had gotten it all so mixed up that he literally believed that Elijah was the one causing the problems in the kingdom. It wasn't anything about them falling off to Baal. It wasn't about any of the thing that Jezebel and Ahab were doing together to promote this new religion on Israel. It was just all about Elijah. "Elijah, we'd be doing fine if you just shut your mouth. We'd be doing fine if you just weren't a part of the equation. Elijah, you're the problem." Anybody heard that? Standard bearers hear that. Family. Folks, if the same bondage has been pressing its way and working its control into a family line for generations, and somebody finally saved, rescued the life of Jesus alive inside them, stands as a member of the family saying, "This far and no further. It stops with me. then make no mistake that the forces of darkness that have been ravaging your family line for generations will be incensed at you. And the ones who were party members to that line of reasoning and to that philosophy and thought and way of doing things, because they're being driven by the forces of darkness that have been ravaging your family line, they're the ones who are going to say, what are you, you troubler of our family? You're the problem. Listen, Elijah was being sent by the mercy of God for Israel. To rescue Israel from its running to a cliff and into destruction. Elijah, though he was thought of as the troubler of Israel, the problem, he was really an emissary of the mercy of God. That's just what many of you are. They would say, you're the problem. And you feel at times hatred, venom coming from them at you. Listen, they ain't mad at you. They're mad at the God who changed you so that you can see now what they can't see. And you know where it ends. You know what the family has become. You know the direction that it takes. You've seen the ravage. You've seen the carnage. You've seen it, and you want it stopped because you love the very ones who are hating you. Rest for the standard bearer. What this is about, as much as anything, is permission, permission, permission for you to be able to say, I am weary. I am worn out. It hurt me, Lord. It's drained me, Lord. I don't know if I can keep doing this anymore. You have permission to go there. You have permission to admit that, to declare that. You have permission because what it does from your heart to heaven, it opens a door for the Lord to meet you at that very place of the weariness that has come from trying to figure out, is this God or is this not God? I'm human. He's divine. I'm finite. He's infinite. Lord, I want to do what's right, but this is a hard one. This is a stretch. This could cost me everything. Elijah could have said that several times. Is this you? And then you go, it is God, it is right, and you take the stand, and then here it comes. Here come the copperheads and the rattlesnakes and the coral snakes and they're coming after you. Sometimes he gives you permission to run. Sometime from the place where you've run, he calls you back. Can I stay? Can I stay? Can I stay? Can I stay? That's really good over here. No, time to go back. Rest for the warrior. Now, quickly, I want to refer you to this section where the Lord, through Elijah, brings this ultimate test of who is God and who is not. The reason for Elijah wanting to meet with Ahab is that he wanted to call for a great public contest between Baal and the priests of Baal, and he is the lone remaining freely walking prophet of God. They would build two altars on Mount Carmel. They would have two oxen that they would, one group, the prophets of Baal would have one, a bullock. Elijah would have the other one, two altars. Let me just read this to you. Ahab sent a message. This is 1 Kings 18, verse 20. Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and said to the people, How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put a fire under it. Then you will call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord God, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people said, that is a good idea. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one ox for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. There's just one of me, and it's going to take me a while to cut mine up. That wasn't in there, but I just thought you'd be interested. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they had made. It came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he's occupied or gone aside or is on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and needs to be awakened. So they cried with a loud voice and cut themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out on them. When midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Prince with God shall be your name. So with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold two measures of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill four pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. The water flowed around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. That's about four ways to never build a fire. And at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is Elohim. Then Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal and do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of the roar of a heavy shower. Remember, he had said, it ain't going to rain until I say so. go up and drink, sound of a heavy shower. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So the servant went up and looked and said, there's nothing. Elijah said, go back, told him seven times. It came about on the seventh time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and out ran Ahab to Jezreel. Thank you very much. Out ran the horses. You say, why would God do that? Because God wanted to do that. Because he wanted to further show to his prophet he's the God who can do anything, and he don't need horses to get anywhere, and he doesn't need the support of kings. He is God, and he does what he chooses with his own. Chapter 19, verse 1. I got to hurry. Now Ahab told Jezebel. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel, the queen, sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And he, Elijah, was afraid. Nowhere in any of the descriptive accounts of the events up until this time or after this time in Elijah's life is there ever a statement like that attached to Elijah. He wasn't afraid when he had to look and get food from the ravens. He wasn't afraid when he was to request a meal from the widow woman. He wasn't afraid when he announced to Ahab, it's not going to rain, but he was afraid with this threat from Jezebel. Here's what I want to say to you. I don't believe that this is an isolated event. I don't believe that just all of a sudden he just got scared. I believe that it was the cumulative effect of exhaustion, the cumulative effect of years of walking by faith and believing the Lord for this and seeking to discern what really the Lord is saying, and then also having to live many of the years of his life in fear of his own physical safety. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It wasn't his spirit that was fleeing Jezebel. It was part of his flesh. He was afraid, and he arose, verse 3, and ran for his life. Ran for his soul is the literal word, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, like one of these we call them cedars up in the hill country, juniper. Sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested, look at this. This is a guy who's just called down fire from heaven. This is a guy who the heavens opened when he prayed. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. I've had enough. I've had enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I'm not better than my father's. He lay down and slept under a juniper tree. I have yet to see a cedar bush in the hill country that didn't have 4 million other rocks right under that place. I don't know how they grow out of solid rock, but it seems like they do. So when it says that that he lay down and he slept, he wasn't sleeping on soft grass. I don't think he's sleeping on rocks. There's a reason I'm pointing that out. He lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, arise and eat. Then he, Elijah, looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and went back to sleep. Now, Jack, help me here. Help me. Quick. Out in the midst of their work. Look at that guy. Have you ever known what it is to be so exhausted from worry, from fear, that you couldn't sleep? Have you ever had enough things going on in your life long enough that maybe even physical symptoms, medically verifiable symptoms, were coming directly from your inability to sleep? And the inability to sleep was tied to your exhaustion. Worried. Afraid. Mind just won't shut down. Folks, listen very specifically. I want you to notice this. When the Lord brought rest to his weary warrior, he didn't stop him from running away. He didn't send the angel to turn him back. He let him go. He let him geographically separate himself from the source of what he was worried about and concerned about. But then the second thing that he did was that he gave him his appetite back. And the third thing that he did was he gave him the ability to sleep back. And then the fourth thing that he did, we read at the end of this, he made his presence known to his warrior in fresh measure. You say, God just wants me, he just wants me to spend more time in the Word. Maybe not. He just wants me to get back to my quiet time. He just wants me to get back to memorizing Scripture. If that works for you, if that results in a resuscitation of your weary spirit, then go for it. But Oswald Chambers said, and I believe it's true, there are times when the Lord knows that the only thing that will be the best for us at the time is the sense of the nearness of his presence. And he will, in concert with that, allow some of the disciplines that have profited us before, the way we study the Bible, when we get up to pray, how we serve, all of that to dry up in its ability to refresh our hearts. Because he says, and I believe it's true, that he wants us to draw near to him. And sometimes your Bible study can get in the way of your sense of him. You say, that is heretical. Time is on the side of truth. Time is on the side of truth. Time is on the side of truth. How many mean, negative people do you know who can quote more scripture than Gabriel? Huh? Our minds can be puffed up. Pride puffs up, but the Spirit. And again, these are ones down the road. These are those of you on down the road. These are those of you who have known what it is to bear a standard and to take flack and to do it for a long time. And you reach a point, I don't want to do it anymore. And what it may mean is that more than you need a four-hour quiet time is you need to sleep all night through. And if God can give you rest, go with it, my brother, my sister. If he does something as practical as restoring the ability of appetites for things that are normal, healthy functions, thank him for it. It's not unspiritual. It's not the absence of God. It's not your rebelling. It's in restoring you. Where was the nearest church? How far away from the temple? Where was Elijah going to church when he was 40 days on Mount Horeb, or getting to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai? Where? It wasn't there. The church can't rest you. But Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Will you let this in, if this is you? You just let this in. You say, Pastor, what's it going to mean? What will it mean? How will I know? What will it mean? You know when you're cold. You know when you're hot. You know when you're thirsty. You know when you're hungry. You know when you're sleepy. Let it in. Lord, we ask you by your Spirit to just do this work in us. Do this work for us, please. Do this work in us. Thank you for the way that Elijah, when he was rested, he was saying again in so many words, put me in, coach. Put me in. It's not that I don't want to stand for you. I'm just tired. It's not that I don't believe. It's not that I haven't seen amazing things. It's just, Lord, I'm tired and I need your rest. So if you determine, child of God, that something is happening because you've got appetite again, appetites, plural, again, you've got the ability to sleep again. Somehow, even though you may not be doing all of the disciplines and following all of the regimen that you follow, somehow you are sensing the presence of God in your life and with you. Thank him for it and go with it. Just go with it. It's in you to return to the trail. It's in you to get back in the game. By his Spirit, it's in you to finish what he called you to do. It's in you. And that will surface again as you are rested in the deepest places of your exhaustion. If Elijah needed it, we're going to need it. And Jesus, by his Spirit, will give it. Thank you, Lord. We receive.
Thanks again for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. If you'd like to know more about Alamo City Church, please visit our website at www.alamocity.org.